This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan. She also served in the Nixon and Ford administrations. You can also find her frequently commenting on national security affairs at Fox News and FoxNews.com. And we want to get her thoughts today on the significance of Veterans Day, as well as the president's decision, which he still has to decide on, and what the strategy will be going forward in Afghanistan. And KT, thanks so much for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Well, obviously, November 11th, originally Armistice Day, ending World War I, but since that time it has morphed into a day to honor the service of all veterans. With your Pentagon background, what comes to mind today as you think about those who have worn the uniform of our country?
Well, I think also yesterday, when President Obama went to the funeral service, the memorial service at Fort Hood, it reminds us that freedom is not free, that our men and women in uniform bear a very high burden and price for the freedoms that the rest of us enjoy. And I think we should never forget, whether America's at peace or whether America's at war, the extraordinary contribution of those men and women who wear the uniform.
You certainly served in administrations during the Vietnam War at a time when, of course, the veterans coming home did not get the type of approval that they're clearly getting today. Talk about the disparity between the two and how much this country has improved in that way.
Well, when I was in the Pentagon during the Reagan administration, one of the things I did, Greg, was write speeches. And I wrote speeches for President Reagan and for Secretary Weinberger. And one of the most telling moments I saw was President Reagan laying a wreath at Arlington Cemetery on Veterans Day, when it was the first time an American president since the Vietnam War had honored and acknowledged the service of our Vietnam vets. And I went to Arlington that day, and there were hundreds and hundreds, mostly men, who were in uniform. Some were in wheelchairs, some were old, some were missing limbs, and President Reagan spoke movingly about their contribution, welcomed them back, said America didn't welcome you back when you served during Vietnam, and we want to welcome you back today and acknowledge the contribution and sacrifice that you've made. And I looked all around the cemetery, and there were people, you know, some of the toughest looking men who'd been through everything, and they were crying because finally, after 20 years, their country acknowledged their service.
Do you see that then as the turning point, KT, when it became fashionable again and Americans felt free to express their admiration and gratitude to the American service members?
Well, President Reagan totally changed the attitude of this country. Up until then, you know, we had Vietnam. At the end of the Vietnam War, our men and women returned from service and they were not honored. In many cases, they were spat on. People threw things at them when they returned to the airports coming back from the war zone. And for a decade, America ignored its military. You know, we didn't adequately fund our military. We had ships that couldn't sail. We had planes that couldn't fly because they didn't have spare parts. And our men and women in uniform, some of them were living on food stamps because we weren't paying them adequately. And Reagan in 1980, after he was elected and sworn in 1981, totally reversed that. He, one of the first things I remember when I was working at the Pentagon was the Secretary of Defense Weinberger said to his military assistant, "Why aren't you in uniform? Aren't you in the Army?" And the man said, "Well, yes, sir, I am. But you know, we've been told not to wear the uniform in Washington D.C. For the entire decade of the 1970s, for fear that we would look like an occupying force and the anti-military sentiment in the country." At which point, my boss Weinberger said, "Well, tomorrow I expect you to report to duty in your uniform because we're changing that." And then Reagan and Weinberger, as Secretary of Defense, adequately funded the armed forces. It was the Reagan defense buildup. We repaired our defenses. We modernized them in many cases. We paid our military personnel an adequate salary for the job they were doing. And we also started respecting them, where we had not for a whole decade. And I think it was the very beginning of the Reagan administration that set the tide for what later would be our victory in the Cold War. We reversed a decade of neglect. We built up our armed forces. We convinced our European allies to modernize their military forces. And then we went to the then Soviet Union and said, "Tear down this wall, and we are not going to accept compromise. We want to win this war, and it's going to be won on our terms." And so we did. We ended up winning the Cold War. on our terms without firing a shot. And I credit President Reagan and the reversal he did in 1981 for that amazing, extraordinary victory.
We're talking with KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. And KT, in his comments today, President Obama talked about the need to make sure veterans are taken care of long after they've left the battlefield. How well do we do that now? How much improvement do we need to see?
Well, you always have to be conscious of it. The wars that we're fighting now in Afghanistan and Iraq are very different from World War II, for example. These are more difficult wars. You know, in many cases, we don't know what our enemy looks like. He's not in a uniform. He's not driving a tank. He doesn't have, you know, an AK-47 on his shoulder. He could be a terrorist, not in uniform, using weapons that we've never seen before. You know, who would have thought that a weapon would be a 747 armed with fuel? So we have a more difficult, in a lot of ways, war than we did during the Cold War, but it's essential nonetheless. And I do credit President Obama with his willingness to take on this issue, and it's so important that we never forget, regardless of what you might think of the Afghan war, the Iraq war, whether you're for it or against it, you should never be, we as a nation should never be against our military. Those are men and women who sacrifice extraordinary things in family and in their own livelihood and the salaries they make. You know, they could be doing a whole lot better in the civilian world, but they feel a need to want to be part of something bigger than themselves and to serve their country. And we should always remember that sacrifice throughout their days.
KT, we could obviously see additional numbers of Afghanistan veterans soon because the president is apparently reviewing a number of options, all of which call for troop increases of one size or another. The general there, Stanley McChrystal, of course, calling for 40,000 troops. How soon do you expect a decision? And from what you're hearing, what's the most likely decision to be?
Well, actually, I met with General Petraeus last week, and he said that the president would have one more round of briefings and then thought that the decision would come in a matter of weeks, and certainly with enough time that we would let our allies know what our decisions were. But the thing that concerns me about Afghanistan, and I was there in May, and travel throughout the country, but particularly on the Pakistan border in the Tora Bora Mountains, an area which has now seen some of the worst of the fighting. And we didn't have a mission. We had a mission, but it was a confused mission. And the problem is, unless we get very specific about what we expect our military to accomplish and to achieve, we work at cross purposes. You know, the military works best and has a very clearly defined mission, and it has resources to achieve that mission and a sense of where it's going. Right now, and until President Obama makes his decision, you know, are we fighting bad guys? Are we fighting a counterinsurgency? Are we fighting a counterterrorist strategy? Are we trying to win hearts and minds of people? Are we trying to build a country and nation build? Because all of those are different missions and different goals and often require competing resources. So I think President Obama, before he makes a decision of how many troops to add or not add, needs to get very specific about the mission he needs to accomplish in Afghanistan.
What should it be?
I think the mission we should look at, the bigger theater, Afghanistan and Pakistan, and realize that in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda's gone. They have left. They're over in Pakistan. And Pakistan is the key to this conflict in large part because Pakistan is in the middle of a civil war where the Taliban, associated with Al-Qaeda, is fighting for control of Pakistan or to destabilize Pakistan. And our vital interest in this part of the world is Pakistan's nuclear arsenal. You know, ever since September 11th, Greg, our goal as a nation has been to keep nuclear weapons out of the hands of terrorists. And we have succeeded in that brilliantly in the last 8 years. But now we are in a situation in Pakistan where the stability of the country is in question, where the nuclear arsenal is in sight for Pakistan's Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and we need to support the Pakistan government, imperfect as it is, in their efforts to defeat the Taliban. Because if no matter what happens in Afghanistan, the key to the whole situation is Pakistan.
KT, we'll certainly be waiting to see what the president says, hopefully soon. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great pleasure.
KT McFarland served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served in the Ford and Nixon administrations, frequent national security commentator on the Fox News Channel and FoxNews.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.